Grab your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 6. Guys, it's a family worship Sunday. We do that from time to time, so it's awesome to see all the young men and women. So anyone above like kindergarten joins us. It's part of who we want to be. Maybe we're not achieving it, but we want to be a family of believers. And if you look to your left and your right, you see there's quite a variety and quite a blend of different ages and concerns, and that's how the kingdom of God works. And so we've been talking about that the past couple of weeks too, sort of taking a break from Romans. And so what I'm sort of just calling for fun, Operation Ohana, this challenge to each one of you guys that you'd be family to those around you. Because the dynamic of us as a church waiting on a pastor to be family to everyone, it doesn't make sense, and people get left out. And so you end up becoming a friendly church where no one can connect. And so believe me that your 5-year-old is as much a part of a church as a 65-year-old, as much as a part of this church as I am. And so if they talk or a baby cries, like, we've got to transform our thinking just to say, wow, there's life here. I'm glad to be part of it. If you find a Nerf dart, yeah, we were here all night, you know, a bunch of us getting older people, like, partying all night with the youth group, man, until 8 a.m. trying to clean up. So there's Nerf darts. There could be, who knows, glow paint. Who knows what you'll see, but just know, thank God that we get to be part of what he's doing, and you guys are all part of that. In our study Sunday mornings, we're going through the book of Romans, if you're just joining us. So we've marched on. Now we're at Romans 6. Let me just pray before we get into the word. Lord, guide us to be your people, and that the whole world would know, and specifically Prescott Valley and Dewey and Humboldt and Chino and Prescott would know that we're your people by how we love each other. They would see that we have freedom because of who our Lord and Savior is, to love and to care and to have joy and all these things that maybe we're not there yet, God, but we long for that, and we ask you to grow us in that, complete and finish the work you started in us. So, Lord, I pray that you would take over this time, that anything I wrote down is all flexible, that you would lead this conversation to speak to the hearts of the people you have here today, the people you created, that you love, that you're calling dear and near to you, and that we would learn, and maybe we'd be reminded of things we knew before, or maybe we would hear something new that would speak to our heart, that would motivate us to walk with you and be your people. I pray this, Jesus, in your powerful name, amen. Okay, so first of all, Romans 6. So before we get there, let me just step back, rewind a little bit, okay? So if you're in your Bible, Romans 5, verse 20 said this. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Well, why are you showing us that, Will? Well, understand, we're going through the book of Romans, and we started off here. Paul was really making a case. He's talking to people who are Jesus followers. Some of them have a Jewish background, some don't. And there's infighting, there's kind of arguments about that, and maybe uncertainty. So he started off the book really showing us all, like, listen, sin is a problem. You need a savior, right? And so he's talking to this crew, and what he's beginning to understand, I know a lot of you come from a Jewish background, and you might be really stuck on the law. How does that speak to us, Lord? I think we tend to fall into religion. Do you understand that? We like our particular ways. Why did we do 4 songs before we got into the scripture? Well, it's not magic. It's not holy. It's from the scriptures. We've just done that because it feels like that's what it takes to get melted all the garbage that you came in, you know, unplug from all the things that you brought in and be ready for the Lord to speak to you. So we try that, but not every week will it be 4 songs, but this is our tendency. I mean, you're uncomfortable because I'm not wearing shoes. You know, you're uncomfortable because I'm not going to give you a 5-step process to make your life better. When it doesn't work that way, but it's religion, it creeps in. And so he's understanding all the law did, guys, all the rules that you learned, all the things that you were taught on how to be a good Christian boy or girl, really these rules, more than something you're going to have to abide by in order to get to heaven, simply just tell you that sin is here and it's in your life. And through those laws, sin increased. But the good news that Randy shared with us when he was preaching is that grace had increased. Not only did it increase to meet the need of sin that increased, it abounded. It was above and beyond. That's great news. So every generation looks at our time and we say, wow, it's getting worse. It's getting closer to the end of the world. We've lost our nation, our countries, our government, our youth. I think every generation could say that, and ours could too. It seems like our world is going to hell in the proverbial handbasket, right? Like, so what do we do with that? Well, Paul's saying, understand, even though all these things seem to be getting worse, God's grace is abounding. That's good news. So then in Romans 6, he goes on to introduce this. Romans 6, 6, he says, we know that our old self was crucified with him. Who's him? There you go, yes. Everyone say, Jesus. There, that's like the smiley face sticker answer that you get in Sunday school. So that's good. Jesus, right? Jesus. Since we were crucified with Jesus in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. So wait a second. Paul is likening our relationship to sin as slavery, right? And I think any of us at points in our time in our life can see that certain sin can grab a hold of you and really control you. So I think that's a pretty good metaphor. That's about what it feels like. So Jesus was crucified, right? And our old self is crucified so that the body of sin would be brought to nothing and that you and I could be free from the slavery of sin. Verse 7, for one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we've died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Okay, that's the rewind. Okay, pick back up. Verse 10, that's today. We're beginning there. For the death that he died to sin once for all. Who's he again? Jesus. Cool, we're on the same page. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. That's the focal scripture for today. Let me pull out a particular verse, because understand, just so that you know the process, I'm asking God, hey, Paul wrote this letter to early believers living in Rome. And so, Holy Spirit, give us a fresh view. Speak to us for our situation. Apply it in such a way. What are you trying to tell us? What are you trying to tell us as a body of believers trying to live in and through Christ in 2019 in our communities, in our families, and in our church? Well, This is the verse that really stuck out. So let me draw that out for you. Verse 11. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. You read that one before? Come across it? Yeah. Talking with my wife. See, my wife she's like a partner in this with me, you know, because we're a family, we're ministering together, and she's far wiser than me and definitely more patient than me. You know, I'm seeing a lot of smiles. So there's lots of like amens from a lot of the husbands out here. You guys get this. But we're longing. What does it look like to be people of God? And we're excited about the forgiveness of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God and the power of God. But in the day-to-day, within the family that we're part of here, you see sin just creeping up, right? It's still trying to destroy us. It's still coming after us. In spite of what Jesus did, you still see these struggles. And so to simply give you this, hey, everything's great, and not address what's going on in our lives would be really cruel and incomplete. So Lord, speak to us about this. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let me fine-tune it more. These two words, consider yourself. Consider yourselves. What does that mean, Wade? You know, I know this. A big part of what, a part of our church family, the youth group, when we were at camp, we were talking a lot about identity. And something even Brandy, she had said to me this week too, we were praying, we were talking about, wow, if you and I could actually begin to grasp what the victory Jesus has won for us is really doing in our lives, we'd be blown away. We're still trying to become victorious again on things that Jesus has become victorious for us already, right? Let me say that again. We don't grasp the completed work of Jesus and what it did for us, what it has won for those who believe and are his. If we began to do that, it would be so transformational. We would really be able to live. We would be free. We would be grateful. We couldn't help but worship him. We couldn't help but praise him. But we don't quite understand that. And I think part of it is this. You see, part of it is how we consider ourselves. So I thought, Reggie, I thought, man, I'll try to be smart, right? Try to pretend to be smart. So I'll look up the words just to see if maybe that would help. So the original words, you know, the idea of yourselves, that makes sense. The translation's pretty much there. Now, consider, the word that was used initially could mean to consider. It could mean to reckon, to think, to count, to believe, to suppose, to, and also I like this that I found, exercise your faith by believing. So if I could exercise my faith by believing that I was dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So Emily, this kind of blows my mind because this is back to that, you know. Guys, this faith is hard. It shouldn't be complicated, but it is hard to follow Jesus in a world that's going the opposite direction, with a profound enemy that we underestimate, that's longing to kill, steal, and destroy all the things of our life. It isn't easy, but I think we make it more complicated than we need to, you see? But Paul is saying to these early believers, I mean, you're expecting seminary for these people, right? Like, okay, let's get into deep theological matters. And some of the things he's trying to tell them is, listen, you're a sinner. Like, you need a savior. If you think you're exempt, you're wrong. Everyone's fallen short of what the glory of God and what he's designed you to do. But there's great news. This Jesus man, you know, he was God, man. He came. He died for you. He won this victory. Now, what I want you to do is receive it. And all the complexity that he could tell us about that, he's like, you want to walk in victory and walk with Jesus? Just consider you got it in him. He's not waiting for you to finish the work. That's it? Yeah. But wait, okay. But maybe I could then, no. But what if I, no. Yeah, but then, okay, so what you're saying is, good try, Jesus. I got this. And it sounds absurd, but it's how I've really lived most of my life, to be honest with you. See, because confession time, I tend to be a really insecure person. And maybe some of you resonate with that. I tend to be a really insecure person. And so receiving God's love sometimes is difficult. Counting myself as God says I am in the scripture. And this isn't some sort of like meeting where we're gathering, just building each other up with positive words. No, this is right from the scripture what Jesus says about me. Then let alone what he says about me when I come before him and get alone and pray. Because you're supposed to do that too, right? There's a little added bonus. Not today's sermon, but a little something extra for you. You should get alone with God. It's good that we come together and connect and worship, but spend some time with him alone. But what God is telling Paul to tell us is, consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God. So here's the question I got to present to you guys. Do I believe, this is what we've got to ask ourselves, do I believe that I'm free from the control or the slavery of sin because of what Jesus did? Well, I love to quickly say yes. How does this work? How does this look? Well, I brought something here that might help. And I understand it's just an example. It fails in so many ways, okay? But consider the metaphor here. Let's say, hey, Corey, I didn't ask you this, man, but would you come on up here real quick? So, guys, this is Corey. Give him a hand. So Corey's playing, Corey is acting, okay? So this is not him. Let's say Corey was coming to a point of decision. So here's your point of decision. And we understand there's so much at play, right? There's the Holy Spirit, there's spiritual things, there's evil, there's good, there's decisions. But let's just say Corey comes to a point of decision, and here's what he's dealing with. You see, Corey, the actor Corey, not the character Corey's playing, not really Corey, is saying, I've made a decision, and I'd like to eat in such a way that I stay clear of sugar or I limit my sugar intake, okay? So that's your concern, right? So this box of candy I have here isn't evil in any way, like necessarily just by its nature. But if you were wanting to stay away from an intake of sugar or these empty calories, you might not choose this. Fair enough? So I'm not calling it a sin. Don't say, Pastor Will said I can't eat hot tamales. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is simply, if Corey came to a point of decision and he was presented with two options, you know, so look at these, green beans, organic, no GMO, gluten-free, right? Yeah, like you'd put these in a yellow bag at the store, you would sell them for twice as much as regular green beans, right? Those are great, great things. Full of vitamins, minerals, probably things you can't pronounce, riboflavonoids, all these kind of good things like that, I'm sure all the good things you want. And then we have these hot tamales, right? Hot tamale, these things are good, right? Cinnamon flavored. Oh, he's looking at his wife. This is getting real. This is real. Now, but just so you know, this has the first ingredient is sugar, and that's not enough, so then there's corn syrup, and then that's not enough, so modified food starch. And then it contains less than 0.5% of the following flavors: dextrin, confectioner's glaze, artificial color. Are you into carnauba wax? Okay. They got that. There's red 40 and yellow 5. Okay. Pectin, citric acid, malic acid. You got yellow 6, red 3, blue 1. So all the good things for a growing boy. Now, there comes to a point of decision, and I think it becomes easy because Jesus won the victory. But what he won us victory for is not that sin would go away. It's not done yet. It's still in your presence. It's still prowling. The difference is now that you're free, it's trying to get you to choose it. And what happens is, you know, there's like the cartoon where there's the angel on one side and the little pitchfork devil on the other side. And although that's not accurate, it does illustrate a really good point, because what we see in the scripture is there's a tremendous amount of forces that have gone and are trying to spread darkness through the world and trying to destroy God's family. And so even though some hot tamales for most of us is not necessarily a sin, This gives a good example. You're going to be faced, no matter how much victory you've walked in, how many years you've walked with the Lord, there's going to be a particular cocktail that our enemy is going to come after you with, right? And darkness is going to try to get you to come out of the light and go into the darkness. It even happens to me as a pastor, right? It whispers, come here, be ashamed, come into the darkness. And once you get there, crazy things happen. So, you know, that's the decision is, Corey, he's coming to this, and he knows his will, and what's good for him is that he would make a choice low in sugar. However, there's going to be plenty of reminders, right? Ooh, you remember hot tamales. Right? Cinnamon, sugar, right? This is what happens. And what I'm saying about considering yourself, Corey, is not going to change that, per se. Now, but I've had one of these green beans, and they are delicious, too. I'm going to be honest, not as delicious as the hot tamale. But when you're done with them, you feel better. But if I would consider myself in this situation to say, you know, I have the freedom to make a healthy choice. I have a freedom to choose what I want to do and not be a slave to what I've gone to do. As a parent, I know Corey is intentional and his wife Jen to teach their kids, like actually give them a vegetable. Because have you met that 20-year-old who's like, no, don't do vegetables, never have. Parents just gave me more chicken nuggets. They don't have the freedom to choose because they've never tried a vegetable to see how good it can make them feel. So here's the other thing that happens. Not only is it temptation, but then there's this. Corey, dude, if you eat this, it's not that big of a deal. You know what I mean? Not that big of a deal. It's not going to hurt you, right? This is the voice of the enemy. And then there's this other voice like, don't do it. Don't do it. How are you going to feel afterwards if you do that? Right? But then there's this other voice once again saying, well, that's great if you choose it now, but man, let's say, okay, you're this age, the average lifespan is this, how many more years do you have? Are you really going to be able to stay away from these hot tamales all the rest of your life and eat these simple green beans? This is what goes on in every one of our choices. So I think the power of what Paul is talking about is eventually what happens is Corey gets just so beat down. It's like, what's the point, right? Yeah. Right? It's like, get so beat down, what's the point? Like my precious, right? He's going to hold on to that. What's even the use of fighting it? And I think that's where we come to. It's like, I'm just a sinner, and I'm always going to be this. I'm always going to struggle with this. I'm always, or I'm never. These are echoing voices of accusation from the accuser of the brethren. So to combat that, Paul's like, listen, consider yourself dead to hot tamales, you know, and alive to Christ through green beans, right? So this is what he is saying, like, you know, joking. Okay. So anyway, I make the point there. You know, do you want to do me a favor? There might be some kids and people who need some sugar to stay awake or some green beans. Would you walk around and see if they want any of this stuff, actually, while I continue to talk here? Let's see if we can balance this. So give Corey a hand. We're going to see if he can do this balancing act, if you guys want that. So I don't want to beat up that point, but what I want to share with you today is you have to understand what Paul is, the point that Paul is making is, first of all, it starts with knowing that we need a Savior, right? And that's the challenge, preaching part of one letter, like if someone took one of your letters to a friend and then read one paragraph, they wouldn't get the whole story. And so that's part of the problem of what we're facing, trying to go through a book that's written as a letter. But really, you and I need to know as a family, as we're stirring each other on, that sin is still a struggle. It is it's something that's come into this world and that we're born dead in that sin. And if Jesus doesn't come to save us, then ultimately we're going to experience complete death, physical death, spiritual death. And our life between now and then will be characterized by selfishness and pain. And so then he's inviting them into a saving faith in Jesus who has won everything for them. But he says, now that you've received that, in order to walk forward in this, you better consider, you better believe 100% that you like green beans, right? Exactly. See, he went with the metaphor. This is good. You better believe 100% that Jesus has won you freedom and you are alive to God and dead to sin. And as he keeps saying, listen, we have been crucified with Christ. We have put death to our sin nature. Well, where you're sitting, it might not feel like that. There's something missing here because that sin still seems to be an unwanted guest in your life, right? It's hanging out. It's hard to get rid of. And it's hard for me just to simply believe that there's victory already for this sin, even though I haven't experienced it yet. Well, we have freedom. And because of this freedom, we should no longer let sin rule over us, over our bodies, by submitting ourselves to sin's desires. Maybe it's just me, but do you guys ever just have a random thought that comes to mind, and it's not a good thought? It could have been like a lustful thought, or an angry thought, or a greedy thought, or a selfish thought. Does that ever, it just comes, right? And so I want to give you something real practical here, because it's easy. Sure, Will, consider yourself, but you should see what I see and what I think. But if you're like me, like Brandy, like I, we talk about this, these things that come in, you have this thought, oh, what about, and you have to, as the scripture says, like hold every thought captive, right? And what does that look like? For me, it looks like this. No, I'm not, what? Like, where did that thought come from? No. And the dialogue begins within you to simply say, right, both voices, no, I'm dead to that. I'm dead to that. And see, once you do that, it changes everything. Because some days, to be honest with you, you might just eat the hot tamale, but you might eat one or two. Right? You might eat one or two. But when you know who you are, you'll get back on track. When you don't know who you are, you're going to get lost, and you're just going to eat the whole box. Because of this freedom, Paul says, do not present your members as sin instruments for unrighteousness. Well, what's that mean? Well, I think it could mean a lot of things for different people. Depends on what sin it is. If it's greed, are you using your finances or possessions for evil or for good? If it's a more physical in nature, it could be the members of your body, right? Pieces, parts of your body you're submitting. If it's your mind as a tool, are you submitting that to evil? Your life, your family, your time, are you submitting those members of your life to unrighteousness? So Paul's telling us, listen, sin did not disappear because of Jesus' victory. Just its ownership over you was destroyed. Yeah. I think this is something that we miss. Just because you see it around doesn't mean it owns you. There's probably somebody out here that you know, has that story where it's like, man, there was something that used to look so good to me, and for a time I had to simply use an act of my will to say, no, 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 no. I'm dead to that. I'm dead to that. I'm dead to that. I'm dead to that. And after some time, it actually lost its appeal. And the reason why that works is, without Jesus, we wouldn't have the strength. We wouldn't have the freedom. Now, but here's the danger. With your freedom from this slavery comes your freedom to choose to go back to that sin. You know, if it's alcohol, it's become a controlling factor in your life, right? And it's great to be sober and have years, but you always have that choice, right, to go back. But it doesn't own you if it's a sexual sin. That doesn't own you. If it's some kind of other addiction, that doesn't own you. If it's control, that doesn't own you. But your freedom in Christ allows you to choose to go back to that. Does that resonate? Do you see that? I mean, are we looking at a letter that's dated, or is this alive and true with what you see? See, it's as if Paul is saying, believe this. Believe this. Like, believe, count on this. This is 100% true. Believe this. Sin will have no dominion over you if you belong to Jesus, since you are not under the law, but under grace, right? Grace says, oh, I saw you. I saw what you did. I know what you thought. I know the worst things about you. But in spite of that, I love you. But I see who you really are. I see your heart. I love you anyway. I give you my favor. I give you my cherishing. I give you my adoration. I give you my love. I give you my power. I give you adoption into my family as sons and daughters. And that's what the grace of God says to us. So when we come together like this, I've got to remind you guys of that. Who needs it more is me. Just as much or more than you guys. But when we come together, see, if we're arguing and we're getting on each other about, oh, you did this wrong and right. I mean, there's a place for that. But more importantly, we come together because we have Jesus who has won a tremendous victory and has the power and has defeated sin and death for all time and has the power to deliver us from slavery of any sin. But in order to get there, you better consider yourself dead to that sin and alive to God. Well, that's kind of simple. I know, right? It's kind of hard to receive. Well, I think then you've got to take a step back. Because here's the important thing. What I'm offering to you as a conclusion from this is not something that everybody gets. Everything with this is through Jesus. So Jesus has to be your Lord and Savior in order to do that. Because how are we saved? How are we saved? By grace, right? Through faith. By grace, through faith. So if we can do that, but God's grace is there, it's ever present, it's available to you, but will we walk in faith? Will we walk in faith? Well, how do I do that, Will? Well, Paul gave us a really great example. Here's one way in which you and I can walk in this faith, can exercise this faith, can show our faith is that we would begin to consider ourselves dead to the sin around us. I tell you this as a brother, not as someone who's getting this, because I'm not 100%, but man, I'm eager. Like, sin needs no place in our lives. We're having a family meeting, okay? Sin has no place in our lives. The world wants to see that we love each other and love them. But it also wants to see us set apart a little bit. If the only difference between you and someone who doesn't believe is you go to a church on a Sunday morning and waste half of that day, that's really not enough. So I think the challenge is how can we stir each other on in this and how can we see this ourselves. I think, first of all, if you're here today, like when we, and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to do that first. That is it. Like, and you don't have to have all the answers. Understand, if this is new and weird to you, some of these people have been hearing this for a lifetime, and we're not getting it yet, and we're slowly moving, and we're in process. So if your process is near the beginning of this understanding, you don't be shy and ashamed. Like, you talk about it, and you'll catch up quick probably because the rest of us are slow learners. But maybe you've had faith and you've been in Christianity for a while, but you haven't considered much who you are in Christ and what he's won for you. And it's like my wife was just telling me, man, and I could see her face right now, just like the glory of God and the goodness of God and all the things that he's done for us, man. Well, if we could just get a glimpse of it, it would knock us off our feet. And if we stop striving so hard or pretending to be perfect, instead we should just consider ourselves dead to sin. And when you leave and those whispers happen, you're like, good try. That's not me. It doesn't control me anymore. It doesn't control me anymore. I am not a slave to that sin. Just like that, that simple example of a green bean and a piece of candy, it's a choice. If you've been tied up in something, if you've been in the darkness, your first step is always out into the light. It is a choice that we make. But you don't do it alone. The other thing that we're lacking, guys, is Jesus told us that when he had to leave the earth, we were getting something so much better, which is the Holy Spirit, like the God that lives in you, that gives you the power to say no. It's one of the things he does. Gives you the strength and the power to say no. So I want to end this time with just some prayer. And first of all, I just want to invite you, if you're wrestling with faith in Jesus, that during this song, I'll just go to the back corner. And please come on back and talk to me, or if I could pray for you. And get this. Get this. Join those who can consider themselves dead to sin and alive to God. And the implications, it opens up like this. It's like, wow. What God can do in and through you, it has no limit. From music to art to Nerf guns to glow paint to, right? To just loving someone, to writing cards, going to the hospital, having a dinner together, a hug, a smile, a handshake. I mean, come on, the kingdom of God is so immense and so powerful, and God is so good. He does the work and he invites us into it. This is an exciting thing, right? Okay, Lord, we come to you right now. And we surrender our doer, if you will, our need to do and achieve and earn as we go through this letter that Paul wrote to believers. I know that you meant it for us. And Lord, I pray that if someone has been wrestling with faith in you, that they'd be brave enough to come to the back here in a minute and pray or ask questions. I pray that, Jesus, please come. Call these people out. Don't let them hide anymore. Let them come out of the darkness into the light, because you are in the light and there's no darkness in you. So those who walk with you should walk in the light as you are in the light. Lord, for those who would profess themselves to be Christians, what a powerful reminder or a good lesson that Paul's giving us in this letter. Lord, I think we doubt. We see the way that we make mistakes. We see the presence of sin around us and in our lives, and we lose hope. Our faith wanes, you know, because things are not working out like you see, like we want them to. It's two words, consider yourself, and Lord, teach us, because we can't miss this. Lord, I pray that you protect us from the enemy, protect us from the people being used to hurt us, but mostly protect us from ourselves, from our negative thoughts and self-cursing, if you will, Lord. Just build us up in your love. Speak to us so that we can hear you, that we know that we're yours. Help us as we try to just consider this, accept this truth that I am dead to sin. Even though there's a temptation, I'm dead to that. It doesn't own me anymore. Even if I did that for 40 years, I don't have to. Even if my whole life I've been afraid, I don't have to be afraid anymore. Even if my whole life I've been controlled and controlling, I don't have to do that anymore. Even if I feel this condemnation, I just say no. All the sin in my past has been paid for by you. I want to change. I want to transform. I want to be new. Help me to lay aside everything from the past. Help me to throw that to you because you paid the ultimate price, Jesus, and you have the power, and you are glorious, and you're majestic, and you make everything happen. You can heal bodies, raise people from the dead, change hearts, make things appear that weren't there before, make things disappear that are there now. You're the one that can encourage hearts and break hearts and lift us up and make it through extraordinary circumstances. So there's nothing that we're going through, nothing that we have that you can't deal with. And so we just push into you and we consider that we're yours and that we're loved by you. We just consider and accept it. I walk in faith to know that if I go home tonight, it can be different than the day before in you. And so my only doing is pushing into you. My only doing is saying, yes, Jesus, please, I accept it. I consider it. Help me to walk this way. So, Lord, we're going to sing this song. And for those people like me who just want to lay it all down, we would just sing praises to you, Lord. Jesus, 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 it's all about you, that you would take from us things that are trying to enslave us, that you would grasp from our hands the dark things we've gone to, that you would erase the things we say about ourselves, erase the doubt, and lead life and joy. Pray this in your powerful name, Jesus. Amen.